Nate's so excited for 69.
I always am.
Would you like the intro, Nate?
Okay.
Stop. Raylene says I can't talk about our sex life on air anymore.
I didn't even realize that was a thing that you did.
You did.
Just the last episode, remember?
Yes. No, you talk about your sex life all the fucking time.
I do not.
You do. It's just Nathan noise at this point.
It's usually you crying in a corner to be whipped. It's usually what it starts
out
with.
That is a great sex life. Welcome to episode 67 of Nathan Noise. My name is Crippled System, and I play Convergence of Cirrus.
That's true.
My name is Katie, and I play Circle of Oberos.
I am Jeremy, Valiant 418, and I play Rhett and Legion.
My name is Andy, Major Tusk, and I play Retribution and Mercenaries.
My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I play Scorn and Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra, yes. Hail Hydra.
I was mad that they made that Senator guy a Hydra thing.
Really?
I was happy when he was just a Dolores Umbridge, when he was just a dickhead.
He was just a dickhead for no reason.
He was just a dickhead. Because dickheads exist. They don't all have to be evil. Yeah. So I was a little annoyed by that.
I'm upset that Larry Sanders got fat.
Man, did he get fat.
He's just... And stretched out. It's like his body stayed the same, and then his innards went out.
What his face? So much bad Botox. So much not right in the facial region on Gary Shandling right now.
Yeah, sad.
Although the theme song to his show is still the best theme song.
It is.
Do any of you guys still watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV out of curiosity?
No.
Which is amazingly better now.
It's turned the dial. Like it's amazing now.
I've heard that. It's sitting in my queue on my DVR.
The tie-ins with the movie, like legitimately, if you had watched the last two episodes before you watched the movie, you probably just ruined Captain America the Winter Soldier for yourself. Congratulations. Like that's how much of a tie-in with the movie it was.
Speaking of which, I want to talk about the How I Met Your Mother season finale. It was really, really shitty. I hated it.
You know, I had to hold that in for weeks after you got... Because I knew you guys haven't seen it.
We've seen it now.
It's such an insulting final. I have people who are like, they can't even watch an episode of it.
Is it as good as Dexter?
I would say, I don't know which is worse. They're both epically bad.
Mass Effect 3?
It's in the neighborhood.
So somebody on Facebook, Christine Yu, I don't know if you guys know her, but she plays War Machine and stuff. Her comment, I thought, summed it up well. I've never seen such a ham-handedly I forget the word she used, like just complete disregard for six seasons of sexual tension ever. Congratulations on ruining your finale.
The people who made the series said they're going to probably make an alternate ending for the DVD and recut it. They'll have an alternate version, which got people even more upset.
They admitted that it was bad. Like they should have just stood behind their work. Here's the thing, though. It makes you feel really bad for the mother. Like she was just a stand-in.
Yeah.
Like even the mom, one of the catches, the mom died. He goes, "How about your mother?" And then she got sick a couple of years later and died. That by itself isn't bad, but then he goes back to the character from the show. And
right,
all this.
Right. Because it wouldn't be one, like, he's telling the story, and that's fine. Like, the parents are hearing the story of their dead, or the kids are hearing the story of their dead mom, and that's all and good. But yeah, to just then shoehorn in the other character from the show.
Which, by the way, I do disagree with Christine's post in one aspect, is I don't think there was any sexual tension, because we're just spoiling everything at this point.
It's a spoiler alert, by the way.
I've held in how bad
I've never seen the show.
Don't watch it. Like, it was such a good show, except for the end. Like, I don't think Robin was ever interested in Ted. Like, there was no sexual tension there. Like, it was like a puppy dog following her around, and she was just never interested.
For the occasional, you know, sideshow for him, but yeah. No, it's just bad.
So I was upset.
And a lot of generic sitcoms are, it's more about the journey of enjoying it than the destination, which I can believe, but sometimes the destination is so bad it just taints
the rest. Well, here's my real problem. Okay, so here's my biggest problem is, to me, How I Met Your Mother is this generation's Friends. It's very much about a group of friends that they go down and they drink. Sure, they drink booze instead of coffee, but whatever. And it's a very similar setup. There's one married couple, which in Friends happened later in the show, obviously, and stuff like that. And the way they handled the tension at the end of Friends was really, really good. Like, the final season, in my opinion, is some of their best work. The entire last season of How I Met Your Mother is some of their worst work.
Well, like, the entire show is based around a wedding, and in the last episode, in the first 20 minutes, those people got married, get divorced. So it's like the entire season's built up around this wedding.
That lasted 30 seconds.
Well, and here's the thing, is it actually seemed like they were a couple that shouldn't be, like, they seemed like they had a lot of chemistry together, whereas Ted and Robin did not have any chemistry at all.
Andy found the wall with his elbow.
Good job, Andy.
He looks happy.
I feel so much better now. You don't understand. I've held it in.
Oh, it was so bad. I had heard people complain about it, and I was like, oh, it's probably not that bad. It's probably just like anticlimactic, which I can get. I can understand that sometimes there's
so much
buildup.
And I loved when he met his mother under the umbrella. It was such a nice little sweet scene.
That was
scene.
Really good.
If that would have been the scene and it just ended, that would have been perfect. But then
they
went on
for
another 20 minutes.
If the two-part finale had been just the first part,
yeah,
it would have been a great ending. The first half of the two-part finale was fantastic.
It is a good structure how you want to ruin a show if you want to just watch.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the alternate ending is probably not as good as the Breaking Bad alternate ending?
Yeah, probably not.
That is an amazing alternate ending. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. I haven't seen any of
it. You haven't seen Breaking Bad.
I haven't seen Breaking Bad.
I watched the first episode, and it was a very sad show, and I thought, well, that'll be the end of that.
No, it's funny.
It gets better because, you know, he fights out of his cancer, then he finds alternate income. It's all good.
Yeah. Everything in this man's life was shitty, and I was like, I do not want to watch this. This looks terrible.
Yeah, this is too much like my life.
It is a pretty depressing show for a while.
There's some fun stuff.
Yeah,
there's Huel. I like Huel.
Jesse's cool.
Jesse, you know.
There's Candy Crush.
Huel's only around there for
Huel. Are you happy? Reasonably. That whole scene in Ted's house.
I'd like to think that he's just still inside the hotel room.
Yeah,
he's just
still sitting there getting the free HBO.
Yep.
Looking forward to the prequel.
You know what? I agree that if they had just stopped at the part one,
yeah,
from now on, if I ever watch the show, I'm just going to assume that's where it stopped.
Yeah. Just pretend that second half of the finale never happened, and it's a great show.
So it's similar to like the Seinfeld ending, which was kind of anticlimactic.
Yes.
No,
it's worse, though. It's way worse
than
Seinfeld.
It's way worse, because Seinfeld was like, it's really anticlimactic, and we built it up to be this thing, but at the end of the day, like, nothing about the show changed. Like, nothing
Seinfeld
in its
wasn't designed about
changed.
Seinfeld wasn't designed about the ending. How I Met Your Mother was How I Met Your Mother.
The
whole
premise of the show
was the delivery.
They actively destroyed the destination that was the entire purpose of the creation.
Okay. Yeah.
Like they build up the whole thing, and like Katie said, the scene at the train tracks where they're under the yellow umbrella and they're talking and they have like this chemistry and it's amazing, and you're like, that's how the show should end. Fade to black. All right, now we're going to take all the storylines that we wrapped up neatly in a bow, and we're going to just destroy them. Hang on, folks. It'll be great.
Well, and here's the thing. This is something that bothers me as well, is at the beginning of the whole show, Robin has a bunch of dogs because she really likes dogs or whatever. But at the end of the show, she's like this world-traveling reporter, which is great because she's really successful, but she also has a bunch of dogs. Quite frankly, you can't own 5 dogs and travel the world at the same time.
You can if you're neglectful.
Well, yeah, sure. So I either have to believe that something happened in her career, like really fell down the well there, or she's really neglectful to her dogs.
You know what? I do know 3 of our listeners are like excited right now. Everyone else is like, I don't understand what's happening. But three people are going, yes. Finally, we had our How I Met Your Mother discussion.
Half of our listeners.
Yes, half of our listeners are like excited.
Like most of our topics that we have.
Well, yeah, but usually I just kind of funny. We're going off on How I Met Your Mother this long. I mean, I could go all day on it. I haven't even begun.
Well, then let's
complaints.
Interject some announcements.
Announcements. I have an announcement for. Wait, Brian, do the announcements jingle.
Announcements.
All right. Okay. I wanted to announce, because we haven't talked about it, and I heard about it, which is a Nexus Games Fair, which is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's a new con. I think this is the first year. I could be wrong about that, but it's June 19th through 22nd, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There's going to be all kinds of people there. Nobody? No?
Do you have a website?
I don't think we're here that weekend.
I think that's
NexusGameFair.com. I believe I said Games Fair by mistake. It's NexusGameFair, singular.
It'll probably be amazing. I think it's... Well, there's a big con in Madison end of the year. That's
I feel like there's something going on June 16th.
All right, so June 16th is
it's who cares about the 16th? It's the 19th through the 22nd.
Yeah, okay. So the 19th through the 22nd is DICON.
That's fine. So any of you Midwest area people who are not traveling to DICON, we have an alternate thing that you could do, which is come up to Milwaukee and go to the.
That'd be cool.
Game Fair.
Does it say anything about what game specifically they're targeting with their Game Fair?
I was given the thing and told to talk about it by the Soda Pop Ministries, the Super Dungeon Explorer guys.
Okay.
They said, hey, by the way, we're going to be here running demos and stuff, and so they gave me that. So I know they will be there. And there's a list of people. Jolly Blackburn's going to be there, whoever else is on the list that I handed over to Andy.
There's if you turn it over, Andy, there's a list of games on the back, it looks like.
There's Pathfinder Society, Magic the Gathering, Shadowrun, Dungeons and Dragons, and BattleTech.
Yeah,
BattleTech. But no, I remember. Out of the names in here that looks familiar, Jeff Easley.
He's a painter.
He's an amazing painter. And Matt Forbeck. I know him from
Matt
writing.
Matt Forte?
No.
No.
Matt Forte. I know him from writing Blood Bowl books. No, Matt Forbeck. I know him from I got an autograph book.
So Jelly Blackburn, who's involved with, he's the whole
Ernie Gygax
hack master and whatnot. What?
Ernie Gygax.
Not Gary Gygax.
Not Gary.
Well, yeah. He's kind of dead.
He is kind of dead.
Sort of dead.
Keith Baker. I think I hate him. I have to double check.
That's probably the default setting.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably not the best default
Dave
answer
Zeb
to.
Cook is pretty cool. He'll be there.
Dane Cook?
Dave Zeb Cook.
Oh, he's I thought you said Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Hey, you remember that time when I was funny?
Jim Ward will be there. And many more.
I love many more.
Are you anywhere near your mic, Brett, out of curiosity?
Yeah, he's fine.
He likes to talk around the
Well, this
screen.
Thing is in the way, so he's
the
trying to...
The spit guard frightens him.
I'm going in.
No.
Oh, that's all creepy looking. So
that was my announcement.
What else? Good announcement.
Have? This coming Saturday, is Cedar Rapids' third 50-point tournament.
Yeah.
50 points. Des Moines also made an announcement like a week ago saying they're having their own event on the 19th. Although,
yeah.
Supposedly, Keith and the other guy, John. are coming to Cedar Rapids. I have to give Keith his half of the prize from DICON. And he did mention
Adepticon.
Yeah, Adepticon. And they did talk about on the podcast how they were coming to that event instead of the local event.
I didn't believe them.
Hey, they said they were coming.
Sure.
History doesn't necessarily is on their side.
Well, we'll send a picture of you with all of the mom crew that show up like we did last time.
With a trophy.
Well, to be fair, you didn't have Colin in that picture.
But he's not on mom anymore. He's on Miami now.
True.
Mom.
Colin, I'm angry at you for a Clash of Clans because you had a really failed attack. You should know that.
And if you're in our clan, don't give us healers for defense.
So Clash of Clans rolled out a new feature for those of you that aren't the three people that play the game. And your clan can fight another clan now over 2 days. And like our clan apparently doesn't understand the concept of how it works very well.
Well, here's the thing is I made a bunch of dragons, which are like a top level unit, to give to people. And I went to go donate and there were all these healers in there instead. And so I couldn't.
Which are probably the worst defensive unit in the game. Probably.
Fascinating.
Anyway, we're enjoying talking about things that are just like completely peripheral this week, apparently.
Hey, we're awake.
Like we normally do.
Did we think that, I think we mentioned it, but I don't know if you stressed, we wanted to thank the guy who brought us that hill.
Yes.
Because that was amazing.
And I apologize. His name's Adam. I apologize, Adam. I was in the middle of playing in, not Masters, but the second Masters qualifier, the one I qualified in. And so I was fairly focused on my game, and I tried to be nice, but I was kind of like, hi, can you please go away now? So I apologize. I looked for you the rest of the weekend, but apparently my memory of what you looked like was not good, given the 30 seconds that I paid attention that someone was there.
He found me and Nathan together. We talked for a little
good.
While.
Good.
He was probably crying because you're so mean to him.
Probably. I was kind of.
He could go find him and Keith Cook's gonna hang out.
Although, if your emotional stability relies on your treatment from Jeremy, you need to rethink your stance in life.
I have a thing about Keith Hooks. The captain. His wife posted a picture on Facebook of herself and her child, and then like Keith being a total creeper in the background. And I wanted to post, see, this is why you have no friends, but it was his wife's picture. So I didn't, because I didn't want her to see it, but I hope the captain listens to this particular podcast and knows that this is what I wanted to post.
It's pretty great of him just behind her. Like,
yeah, it was almost a photobomb of his own wife's picture.
Looking very creepy.
It's not really a photobomb if you belong there.
I don't know. He didn't look like he belonged. It was a little bit like when Travis takes those pictures with that kid he kidnapped. And you wonder why Travis is in the picture.
Oh, yeah, Travis.
Wow. That happy little blonde child. Like,
when he's crab fishing up north.
Hey. He likes Millman's kid. What
Speaking of Travis, congratulations, Travis. You are going to win diplomacy. Nobody can stop you. Travis stabbed me at the exact perfect time.
Oh, that's amazing.
I don't know whether I don't know how long he had been planning it or if he just bumbled into it, but he was the completely non-threatening idiot little sidekick for me for the entire game. So I had completely discounted him and I moved away and then he just shoved it all in up to the hilt. And so I am crumbling. But since I'm all down south in Austria anyway, just my death throws, I'm just dragging Austria down with me instead of even bothering to turn around to stop Travis. So he's going to win that game. Well done, Travis.
Well done, Travis. I always enjoy when Nathan gets taken from behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he messaged me. He's like, are you still enjoying the game or did I ruin it for you? And I'm like, if you can't enjoy diplomacy after somebody stabs you, you shouldn't be playing diplomacy.
That's true. Good point. So those were announcements. There's a new character troll for the three people that don't watch. That apparently, if you aren't on the internet, but
character
you listen to our
blitzer,
podcast.
Character blitzer
with a bombard cannon.
Yes,
he's going to be like Grant -3.
Hey, that's okay. Because, you know, boostable.
The bombard cannon is normally AoE 3. That thing,
yeah, it's only AoE 3.
That thing would be bigger and it'll make all the people who have the bombards mad.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That's okay. Andy will be in his bunk.
Oh, my God.
Andy's the only person who likes the Blitzer as much as I do. And like, he and I are the Blitzer fan club.
And it says, they said specifically that it does something to make other Blitzers better.
Yeah, so. Inspiration or something like that. Probably makes it so they shoot better.
Makes them fearless. Probably.
Yeah, it makes it fearless.
You could have the thing that Rengrave has that the War Spear guy has, where if they can see
if
him, it's plus
see
two.
Him, that would be
I
cool.
forget what that ability is called. Veteran Commander? No, what is that?
I should know.
I'm blanking on the ability name.
Yeah, you should know
I
that because one of your characters have that too.
I hate that ability because you have to see the model. I think it should be like in commander range. That's like because like Rengrave has it. The Dareth Wraith has it. Says you have to put and. Scorn has a unit with it. Like, put your solo in this awkward position so then your unit can charge forward and be better. It's like, I think it should be...
In Legion, it works out okay because on Anissa Revol, you kind of... It works out to have her on the opposite flank and their large bases.
Well, they're also shooting where a lot of them are melee-centric.
In the War Spears, it works out with the Warmonger because he often is great for just the terror check and a berserk attack, and then they are like, now we throw our spears better, yay. But I agree that on a Blitzer, it might be... And on Derek Wraith, it's just terrible.
Is
you don't
just,
want him in front.
Do you have to be able to see the bronze back for his
nope,
special thing?
Range.
That's just command range?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it might be. Who knows?
Who knows, but it's Blitzers. And,
character
oh, my God.
Blitzer.
Did they specifically say it's for Gumbjorn or
no,
not?
No, they've not named any Warlocks at all. They're assuming Gumbjorn because he's got more... military-looking uniform and armor than most of their beasts do, and since Gumbjorn's the military guy, people are assuming that, but there is zero textual basis for that.
Because Krix had a jack that didn't have a bond, although it was a jack versus a beast, but I mean, it's theoretically possible that it's just a character that doesn't have a link.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Imperatus is only an affinity, what's it called? A special issue.
Yeah.
For who?
For Phyros.
Phyros, okay.
But again, it could be nothing.
It could just be he looks
Behemoth
cool.
Behemoth and Deathjack and all. You know, I mean, it's not untold of for characters to not have a specific bond.
The one thing I don't think will happen that the internet's a little bit of Twitter about is people seem to think it's going to have higher base armor than a Blitzer just based on the way it looks. I'm not sure. Maybe 1 point. Maybe it goes to a 19. I don't think there's any way on earth it becomes a 20.
No.
Like, there's just no way.
Not with all the buffs that trolls have.
Yeah.
The Earthborn Animus and the Creel Stone.
Yeah.
You're not going to have an armor 24. Just a flat out.
That's a gun jack, too. Yeah. So it's just going to sit behind a wall and blow you up all day? No. I'm sorry. Like, I don't even know that it's going to get a bump in armor, but it's certainly not going to get a double bump in armor.
No.
Bump, bump, bump.
Bump, bump, bump. But yeah, so that's also a thing that's happening on the internet this week. PAX East, for those of you, none of us went. I've never actually been to a PAX. Have any of you guys been to PAX before?
No.
Chad from Musel.
Chad goes. Chad likes it. But
if there's everything in the world.
It's a little bit more. It's a little more video games and entertainment than just War Machine. But
no, I agree.
I heard. I saw some animated pictures of Sturgis Ed Burrell's Twitter.
There were some game. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Some people were doing. They had the pre-alpha demo of the game, and people were posting on Facebook kind of their impressions.
They're saying it was like XCOM with Warjacks, which is the greatest sentence on the planet.
Yeah, that makes me happy in my pants. I think somebody actually posted a gameplay video that they took with like their phone as well online. But
it's possible.
Yeah.
Speaking of XCOM, my dad got XCOM for his birthday or something, and Jeremy had to help him get it to work on his computer because my dad's running on
Windows XP.
Windows XP.
Turns out that game is non-compatible with Windows XP because it came out in the last decade.
Right.
But my dad says the computer's only it's most 2 years old.
Yeah, it's at most it's more than 2 years old.
Time flies.
Windows XP. It's only 10 years old. Or it's 2 years old.
Only 2 years old.
Speaking of games,
what I
posted on your Facebook page.
Which one?
Spiritual successor to Alpha Centauri.
Andy found the wall with his elbow again.
I played more Alpha Centauri than any game ever.
It's a great
and now
game.
There's like a successor to that coming out from these guys.
And it's by the guys that did Civ. Yeah, like, I have high hopes.
Also, speaking of games, I mentioned to some of you guys when we were playing some board game previously that one of the games that I really wanted to buy because it was on my list of games that I should own and our group should play is Amun-Re, which turns out is out of print. I paid more than I should have, but I ordered Amun-Re.
Nice.
So.
Very cool.
It's a Rhino Knizia game, and he's, you know, the Stephen King of board gaming.
You ordered it on Blu-ray?
Yes, I ordered it on Blu-ray.
Wow.
It's amazing.
What?
I thought you said Blu-ray.
Moonray?
Moonray.
That's what I heard. I heard Blu-ray.
It's a good game. It's amazing. Cool. And I remembered loving it, and then as I was like, I'm going to buy this, and so I went through and I read a bunch of Board Game Geek stuff to refresh myself, and I'm like, oh, that's right. I really, really like this game. I think you guys going to like it because it's not worker placement. It's different. It's kind of an auction game, but with some economy stuff in it, too. It fills a unique niche.
I heard the word auction. Katie's going to like it.
So what's
I wasn't game? Listening to what you guys were saying.
That's phenomenal.
Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Rah!
Rah!
See, Katie like
it. It is an Egyptian-themed auction game by the creator of Rah.
So she'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about our question for the day.
What's the game called again?
Amun-Re. A-M-U-N space R-E. One of the interesting mechanics, too, is the game's played in two epochs, and so you go through the first time, and you bid for these territories, and you improve the territories, and then you score, and then the territories all keep the improvements you've done, but then you go through and you have to bid for them a second time. So depending on how much you invest into a territory, other people just buy it the next epoch, and they'll be like, thanks for all the pyramids, bitch.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting mechanic.
Interesting.
Yay.
Hooray for stuff.
Huzzah.
Should we actually get to that letter?
Yeah.
We had the letter, and then we had the topic that the other guy with the Zappity twittering the last time, and then we have the Kickstarter models. We should talk about that for sure. This I can save for my recommendations, because this is my recommendation.
We can save this one for later as well, too, because I need to look it up.
Let's do let's do the literary one first.
Okay.
And then we'll do the letter. Are we set up for the letter this week, Andy?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, sweet. We good?
Yeah, you're fine.
All right, Nate, you're on.
So next topic of conversation, which we may or may not have mentioned. Oh, so let's continue seamlessly in the conversation that we are having now that is the same conversation.
Good cover.
About last week, I don't remember how much of this I explained 30 seconds ago, so I'm going to explain it again.
Seamlessly.
We are not editing something at all right now.
Never. No. So
Andy was not trying to be proactive on his computer and fucked up all the sound for the last 10 minutes.
This makes me think of when, Craig Ferguson, when he'll say a sentence and then there'll be like a little jump and he'll go, welcome back, because they had to cut out like 15 minutes because he just rambled about the Jews or something.
They never cut.
He just says welcome back occasionally.
Yeah.
Speaking of
It's been cut at least once.
I finally got around to seeing the thing where apparently Stephen Colbert made the racist Asian comment.
I knew about this before Katie, for the record. I just want to point that out.
Well, the issue was that his show tweeted the punchline without the setup, and outside of the setup, it just looks like, hey, here's something racist.
Yeah.
You need the setup to understand that it was satire. But in context, it's totally obvious.
Well, that, and if it's coming from Stephen Colbert, it's totally satire. And so I watched the interview with the young lady.
Yes, I forget who it was, the Huffington Post or whatever did with her, where then she's like, you're demeaning my opinion. He's like, yeah, well, your opinion's stupid.
Which I thought.
Did you see that interview on a Cracked article?
I did. I am behind on my resources of news.
So we could tell our listeners to stop listening to us and just go read Cracked, and you get most of our outside.
You'll get most of Hades in my information.
So you can tell that's like weeks old and only partially cracked and full of pandering bullshit.
Yes,
so that's exactly what our show's
like
about,
news.
Ryan.
So. My literary / film. Oh, like my guy's not literary television. He's film, which was the specifically not one of the things listed.
True.
Oh,
whatever.
Well,
mine's a film too.
From the novelization of the movie version of Big Trouble in Little China, I would choose Warcaster Jack Burton, captain of the Porkchop Express, and he would play for mercenaries, and his feet would be its all in the reflexes. I feel like we've gone over all this before.
It's like deja vu all over again.
And his feet would be.
I feel like it was explained better the first time.
It was better the first time. Well, because I had an anecdote about Brian and you were dumb, and Brian was watching TV. It was a grand story.
It was pretty good.
Brian put on Facebook, it's like Pork Chop Express time, and Katie's like, I don't care what you're eating for dinner or something.
No, he posted at like 8 p.m., which is a really late dinner for Brian.
It would be a late dinner, but I'm like, it's 8 o'clock, time to watch a good movie.
Yeah. Katie apparently does not know Big Trouble in Little China.
Never seen
that. Nope.
That is depressing.
Wait, what?
Nope. No, she has no idea.
God. Oh my god, that should be a pain train.
Long since established that I've seen none of the movies.
That movie's amazing.
Is it a movie? Katie probably hasn't seen it.
That is true. Is it music? Jeremy's probably not heard it.
Also
so, like,
true.
That's how it goes.
Also true.
Have you seen it, Jeremy?
Big Trouble, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was thinking we could pain train that for Katie.
But it's all in the reflexes. His feet would give friendly faction models in his control area quick draw and defensive strike. And that'd be awesome. Also, he'd have a truck. He could be mounted. He could be a cavalry caster in a truck. Battle engine.
Yes.
Battle engine warcaster in the Pork Chop Express. Done. I'm doing it. If done this happens, you know, spoilers. They stole it from me. I'll sue.
Okay. I'm going to do Merida. Merida?
You mean Princess Brave?
Princess Brave. Damn it. Where'd her name go?
Katie had to look up her name while we were in the cut, and now she still can't get it right.
Let's go with Miranda.
Miranda.
She's a Miranda.
Whatever. But
I'm a
she
Charlotte.
Would be able to shoot, and she'd be stealth, and she'd play for Circle, and she'd have a horse that she'd be on top of.
Stealth with that hair?
Yeah,
how
they
could
think
you miss her?
They would think it was just a fire in the background.
Okay, they're okay. Like, don't pay any attention to that 10-foot fire that's shooting arrows at us.
maybe yes. she only fights in the fall.
Yeah, there you go.
So and she then, has Prowl.
Yeah, and then something that... and then her spells would enable shooting, and then something that Nathan mentioned is she would have a companion bear, because I was like, maybe they'll turn into bears or something, I don't know, and then he said companion bear, and yes. That's my story. Your turn.
Okay, so, all right then.
Now we're in uncharted territory.
What I really wanted mine to be was Malcolm Reynolds, except the problem is he's already a caster in the game named Kane.
Yes.
They made two versions of him. Like, it's clearly Malcolm Reynolds. I'm sorry. So anyway, I can't do Malcolm Reynolds, so I'm going to choose Elsa from Frozen. She's going to play for Legion, because they're all about the winter theme.
And these are not literary characters.
Nope, not a literary character. That's 100% true.
Both of them. I have 1.5. And they both are.
To be fair, Malcolm Reynolds wasn't a TV show, and he did say TV show or books. He
okay,
did.
Okay.
I wanted to go with Sherlock Holmes. Anyway, so Elsa from Frozen, and her feat would be all enemy models in her control area can neither run nor charge for a turn. Model unit in her control area can neither run nor charge, so it's a little bit like temporal barrier. And in addition, suffer a -2 rat. So in other words, it's like the ice storm when she does the ice storm thing when she like freaks out.
So Zarkova?
It's yeah. A little bit like Zarkova's feet, but in Legion.
There you go.
But yeah, I think she'd be cool and she'd have like, you know, icy grip because that'd be fair with arc nodes. Or not icy grip, freezing grip from Sorcia. Because that'd be super fair with arc nodes in Legion.
Super fair.
Yeah, seems good. Balance.
You never said that these would be fair casters.
Mine's fair.
Yours is a little bit more balanced than mine.
Yeah. Yours involves a semi, though.
To be fair, it does.
Mine has a bear.
Would it have an extra attack from the back?
Yeah.
From the creature?
The creature, absolutely. Yeah. It'd be like the Deathwalker. He'd come with the creature.
Well, my character would be Ash Williams. If you guys don't know who that is, that's Bruce Campbell in The Evil Dead.
Oh, nice. It's
little known last name.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
The Ash Williams, I have no idea what his feat is, but I...
Wait, but he is also already a caster.
No.
No. There is a caster named Ash with a boomstick and a cybernetic that arm is, and a chainsaws.
Yeah. That is true, though, but... Mine, actually, his feet is almost exactly the same thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, I was gonna say his feet would basically do nothing, and then he would run away.
Yeah,
because that's pretty much what he does. So yeah, okay. So I just made Magnus,
much like I kept trying to make Kane.
So yeah, okay.
Good job,
hooray,
yay!
All right, Brian, you're up.
Well, the one I wasn't gonna pick, but I have a good name for a feet would be Dresden.
Yeah, ooh,
because Hell's Bells would be his feet name.
That'd be a fantastic feat. Who'd he play for?
Who'd he play for?
He can't play for Crix.
No.
Ash would play for Mercenaries.
Well, obviously.
He could be a Signar caster.
I could see that.
If anything.
I could see that.
But that wasn't who. But I just think he has such an easily named feat. Yeah, because he has lightning and fire, so he could easily go either way.
Yep.
He does a lot of totem-based stuff, so I could almost see him be a warlock instead of a warcaster.
He could
he could almost be a minion warlock.
Ooh, that would be sexy.
He could go that way, too. But I was going to say a lesser-known... in the last thread, I mentioned the Malazan books, and a lot of people jumped on that. And I was going to say Carsa Orlong from the books would be a great warcaster. He's basically a giant. In book four, it's one of those Malazan books. Like every chapter is a different character, but book four, the first 500 pages is about one character. So you're really confused reading. Like, why is it not changing?
Why is that jumped around?
And he keeps talking about killing children. You're like, well, this guy doesn't seem very good, but he's actually a giant, and children are just men. So you don't, he's talking about his point of view. So people are children to him.
Okay.
So he's just he basically can't be defeated by anything. So he would just be.
But he's
some,
still killing children in his mind.
Well, he's
killing tiny people.
Yeah,
and he just calls them children, but they're full grown adult men.
Yeah, but they mess with him, so they always deserve it. So he I don't know what I would call his feet though, because he just that was my problem. I didn't choose
Stompy Stomp.
I think he'd be a large base / battle engine, which wouldn't make any sense, but he would just be like a cav model on foot.
I really liked Fiddler in book two.
Fiddler's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I never read past book two, but I really liked Fiddler. Well, he's got that same thing. Like I like Bronn and everything. I like the just grizzled, you know, it is what it is. Like professional soldiers. I always like those kinds of guys.
Have you not read The Black Company?
I have not. I know I should.
I read that Red Black Company because it's so many modern books that are like you just described are based on The Black Company. I don't even think The Black Company is that great of a book, but like everything's based on it. So I read it as more of like a history thing myself. Right.
That's fair.
Kind of like seeing Casablanca because so many cliches.
Oh yeah,
And Black Company, modern fantasy owes so much to Black Company. But I'm sidetracking him terribly. So Karsa, I don't know. He's just a warrior that can't be stopped. Fights. He'll like no matter what it is, he just. Wields his two-handed sword, and he probably has some sort of rage feat that would just cause everyone to go completely crazy.
A little bit of a super solo set sort of thing.
Yeah, he would definitely be a pure super solo, okay. Butcher 3-esque type of ridiculous thing. Because his thing is he's big, monstrous, and he's like super agile, so people don't ever expect him. He's like, you know.
I originally was going to do a book character, because I picked a book that has plenty of characters that I love in it, and I was trying to pick the right one to do, and then there were two issues with the book I had chosen. Issue number one is that it's nonfiction, so it probably doesn't count. And issue number two, it was The Three Kingdoms, because I love that story, and I'm like, well, they're already Dynasty Warriors. Like, that's already been done. But pick any of them, and that would have been if they were fictional people.
Yeah. I was going to say, I could always go with Evil Ash, but then that's basically Asphyxius too.
Pretty much.
I never got like there. I never understood that sentence didn't come out right. A goofy censorship of that movie. I forget which country it's in, but they changed some of the dialogue because he says "You're good Ash, I'm bad Ash," and whatever country it was in decided that that was a pun and it was supposed to sound like bad ass, and so they censored it.
Okay.
Because it was almost accidentally a pun.
I've seen on Sci-Fi, they've had different parts of that too. It's like good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. And then there's also some other one too that I've seen.
The directors, that movie has a lot of director's editions, and I almost don't like any of them. They change a lot of the key lines that you're so used to.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's we had a topic. We went through it pretty quickly.
Hooray for a topic. Do we want to talk about the ethereal thin thing thingle thills?
No.
Yet? We're saving that? Okay, so now we're going to awkwardly fill time while we get prepared for the next topic.
And
we got banter for a while.
Naturally.
Hi, everybody. I'm not moving my arms awkwardly right now.
We can talk about Winter Soldier some more because we did that off air.
Was that off air?
I don't remember.
It was off air.
Well, someone let us know. Did we talk about it on air or off air?
Yeah.
Winter Soldier was really, really good. Many people disagree.
Oh my god, that is a wall of text.
All right, well, I am going to have to stop in the middle of some of this.
This is War and Peace.
All right, we have a new
Have a letter from our friend Cool Kurt down from Springfield.
Do you have to scroll? Is that everything? Or is there more?
No, there's
scroll.
More.
You have to scroll. I moved my mic out of the way, and I moved it back, so hopefully my sound is good.
That is a lot.
And it says, Dear Crippled System, I was asked to inscribe this letter to you. Cool Dick Ballista Kurt asked me to join him at what he called his bum-ass chateau that makes all them butches crawl, just like that one song the kids listen to. The address given held an apartment in a reasonable district of town, and upon knocking, I was treated to a trio of gunshots hearing a scream of, "Get out of my office!" I retorted that I was not in his office, and the grouping on those shots were not very good.
No,
valid point.
They were very good.
Oh, were very good. Sorry, I'm like trying to talk this way and read this way at the same time. It's very complicated. I'll get my finger out here.
I got it adjusted.
No, I can't adjusted. See the screen, oh, Jeremy.
I got it adjusted.
So. Okay, she's good. All right.
Let's see. The door swung open, and a bashful Kurt gave a shy grin and mumbled, "Thanks." While taking a 9-second pull from some dollar store brand whiskey, seeing someone... Whiskey. What did I say? Whiskey?
Whiskey.
Whatever. So, reading on air is kind of nerve-wracking, I'll be honest.
Hey, don't worry. You're almost a tenth of the way there.
All right, just a second. I'm going to have to ignore the fact that there's a mic, and then we can do this better. Seeing someone shotgun liquor while giving a quiddish smile was something I'd only ever seen once before. It's not an easy thing to pull off. Having learned that I had survived his trilogy of attempts at assault, I was invited into what I can only describe as a future crime scene. A plethora of unidentifiable stains permeates the walls, floor, and yes, even the ceiling. You switched from past tense to present tense there. It's very confusing. new granite kitchen countertops that he seemed especially proud of, despite the odd markings near where it had been sheared.
That's a callback to his balls, because he...
Okay. Come in, Stu. Make yourself comfortable. My lady is out. Gesturing to a still swinging pair of handcuffs partially attached to the nearby radiator. Hot. I sat down across from him in an overstuffed chair and immediately regretted it. I was going to have to drive home pantsless, likely with a towel on my car seat. It says being, but I think you mean begin. Shall we begin our dark work, my boy? Before I could correct him in that I'd actually 4 years a senior, he began to speak. Kurt began, as he always does, in medias res and full of vulgarity. My grandmother loved two things, Stuart. One, oh no, it's going dark.
I like how she touched the screen. She plays her iPad so much, she touched the screen to refresh the laptop.
I got Katie's fingerprints.
What do you do? My grandmother loved two things, Stuart. One was meeting sailors by the docks, and the later, shiving them with their own salt, shriveled, scurvy, riddled dicks. And the other is my birthday. He swung a wild arm out at the far table where it said, "She cake rest." The words, "Happy birthday, Johnny, you giant sex machine," scribbled on it with frosting. I didn't ask who Johnny was, nor why there seemed to be some blood on the white frosting. I need you for a task. I need you to kill Jeremy Shea. There's a C in Shea? Take note. My mind reeled. Those documents were sealed. And that was a long time ago. How had he found my source of income while an undergrad in Kirksville? Seeing my nervous glance, it seems to be taking a weird turn.
A weird turn was when you started reading the letter.
So Kurt's hiring Stu to kill Jeremy. Yeah. And Stu apparently used to be an assassin, but he wasn't supposed to know.
Okay. Nervous glances there, he immediately added, "Oh, not you. Forgive me. But you would just make a mess, some sort of bloody carnival out of the affair, involving several nearby house pets and ending with either you dying or becoming one of those incredible hulks I've heard so much about." No, this letter is a warning shot. It is a sporting attempt to engage him to see the error of his ways. Kurt, what is this all about? I grew bolder.
I like the voices, by the way.
Now that I did not have to go home to leave my darling wife asleep as I dredge up that black duffel bag from the cedar closet for the first time in over a decade, the one... You say pray? Oh, no, you said this right. I apologize. That's me. The one I pray I never have to explain, lest it become a Showtime hour-long drama that totally beefs it in season 5. It's about my goddamn birthday, limp nuts. It says birthday, by the way.
Maybe that's Kurt's Bostonian accent.
They have those in Springfield.
My birthday. It's a wicked birthday.
I have these brain-dead weasel jockeys. Any idea who the fuck sits up there and fucks up their podcast every week? If it were just some random gut fuck who couldn't even name all the states and thought Smurfs came from a small but earnest Eastern European country, I could simply blame the horribly inadequate public school system for failing to either teach this, for either teaching poorly or identifying him as something of best tearfully shot in the fuck of the recessed yard by the most popular classmate at the time. I can forgive his idiocy. I can't forget the offensive miasma that it must be his incest-produced mind in which it never learned about the new Star Wars film. I can even be so kind as to let it go that my notion that his maids must think it horribly cruel irony that they must pick up after his half-dicked, twice-assholed, crow-fucking-magnon... while they possess the common ability to even correctly answer half a Jeopardy episode.
What?
The birthday matter, however, cannot stand.
I thought it was a birthday.
Oh, it's spelled differently this time. Oh,
okay.
Okay.
It's got to fall over, like the time I shot lightning out of my dick and shattered those trees across the golf course, while shouting, "Eat that, Signar!" before he lands up on the cover for the next issue of Shithead Quarterly. He needs to change his birthday of fucking cease to be. See, it's birthday again
now
there.
It's a birthday again.
Very inconsistent.
Do you guys have the same birthday?
Not that I know of. Apparently.
I'm not going to be his drug. I'm not going to be drugged down from my lofty fucking perch up here just because he managed to escape his mother's vagina whilst the world rightly celebrated my coming to this planet. My. Fucked? Fuck? Foci? Foci.
Yeah, foci. It's the portal of focus.
Foci and fetish in hand as I sprung from my father's mind fully formed. It's a weird way to get. Be birthed.
We do share a birthday, according to Facebook.
There you go.
Hey, he did research before reading this letter. I had to inquire. Foci and whiskey and my wee dandy Dublin bison tit. Where the fuck do you think my powers come from? Sure, my massive junk has been called many names over the years. Shitan, Leviathan.
Leviathan.
My ignorance is showing. B. Arthur's final resting place. Final is not spelled correctly, by the way. Gozar the Gozarian. The 1986 Kansas City Chiefs special team. I'll kill the tiny fuck before they're called that massive pile of pleasure meat that shares the birthday with Jeremy Shea, though. I will give him one chance. Change his birthday to another date. Or face genital-related oblivion. Give him the 30th of February or something.
Boy, I missed that by a lot.
Genital-related oblivion.
Then we never have to do anything but let him die nameless and forgotten in the annals of his meaty fucking awkwardy.
Mediocrity.
Mediocrity. Got it. Meaty fucking awkwardy. Better yet, just like Katie, I have his birthday, so she gets two. She's taken everything else of value from him. Why stop now? Valid points. Valid point. I'm putting a bounty out on this deal, Andy. Pay attention. Eliminate the problem. I thought you were talking to Stuart.
I'm very confused right now.
Eliminate this problem.
I would imagine that Kurt would just randomly start calling Stuart Andy. It's too important to care what other people's names are.
Eliminate this problem, and you don't get to go see fucking Manowar. I'll put you in the fucking band. You can be up there telling people that metal will never die, singing about Vikings or some shit. Brian, you want more board games? Do this, you get Fantasy Flight. The whole fucking flight. Hell. Then they'd keep sleeves in stock that way, for once. Nathan, you get to it first. You get it. The whole kit and caboodle. I'll let you feel safe as my little spoon, as my sweet and spicy Jicama? Jicama? Jicama?
Hickama?
Hickama? Hickama. Excavates your most secret of places. It's not very secret. We hear about it a lot. There's a place you can visit where you can reunite with that puppy you had that died when you were 7, and my dick is the way in the fucking light for that shit. Jeremy, fuck. Turn yourself in for this crime against Kurt, and I'll reward you. New birthday, new name, everything. I'll make you some fucking Muslim guy living in the... That's gotta be French.
Quebecois
Providence, called Austria. When I come into power by having that fucking angel down on the street break open that last seal, the one that looks like a fucking huge Toblerone, you may serve as a convincing scribe, spreading my word across the land while thrusting inappropriately at every Walgreens you can see. Knowing this, crippled cystic fibrosis, my throne is made of the flesh and bone flayed from liars and whores, and there's a smaller throne by my right awaiting you. I look deep into your souls and know that what it is you desire. Your pleasure is endless at my side. Stand in my way and fucking pay the price. It'll be the installments of fucking horrific, and it won't end. Just look at Time Life book series. Stu, you have your words. Send a crow with them to these aspiring pricks. How about I just email them instead? I asked, blushingly.
Blushingly?
I added all that. Took another long pull from that whiskey bottle that never seemed to lower its watermark for a moment. I thought I saw him as... Oh, no!
Okay, with the laptop.
You little mouse, you're going to get delayed. You got to do it the first two turns of every phase.
And for a moment, I thought I saw him as he is, a man rubbing his junk savagely while drinking enough booze to kill a school bus and all its occupants. The next, I saw it, the sky in a slow fire, his face partially rotted, so deep hooch ran past his old tongue and down his body, his member prehensile and in the midst of telling an hour-long Aristocats joke. It fled from that apartment, pausing only to vomit on the stairs as the landlady scolded me for running in the hall so late. Not for running, but just running so late. From the outside of the building, I heard a gunshot pierce his laughter, and then he leaned out his window, jeering at me that, "I cannot die, you miserable heaps of mouse shit." I write this to you to bring this tiding, because I am filled with twin terrors, that he might discover any lack of competency on my part, and that I might serve him faithfully enough to be rewarded, should his grim coup ever come to pass. Big fan of your work. Stew.
For the record, I'm 4 years older than him. I had it first.
Okay, I think
I
think he noted that he was older. But what I like most is the way that he signed this is it could be me saying, big fan of your work, Stew, because he didn't, like, put it down a bar.
Gotcha.
So it could be a signature or it could be talking to Stew. Big fan.
Based on the Lovecraftian horrors involved, I think that he's timeless and lives in different dimensional realities than us, so he might have been born before you, even though he's younger.
That does seem possible. I would agree with that statement.
So it's a good thing they put him on the team, because apparently he could just open a portal to the abyss.
Destroy all of the other countries.
I wasn't given any sort of reward, by the way. I guess I would get 2 birthdays.
You would get 2 birthdays.
2 birthday months, Brian.
Whoa. Out of control.
So many presents.
And it's to be in Man of War. You get 2 birthday months. Brian gets the company Fantasy Flight, and I just get spooned.
By Kurt.
That's true.
And you get to be the small spoon.
Are you sure? By Kurt or Stu?
Hey.
No, I think that
was pretty Kurt. Sure it was Kurt. Because he was going to thrust his hickama into him.
Because
okay. I was going to get all that
Kurt
hickama.
Kurt was talking to Stu, and Stu was giving us what
Kurt
he said,
said.
Kurt's yes, words.
Okay.
Transcribed but not read.
Everyone, regarding
let's start
the
punching Jeremy.
The fourth day. Yeah.
The fourth day.
So we just unplug Jeremy right now. We just take him out. There you
aww,
go.
Aw, he died.
You can only hear Jeremy in the background from now on.
So I'll still be the loudest one on the cast.
Yeah, I was going to say, even coming across other microphones, you'll be loud enough to hear.
I'll plug you back in.
So, also, on, you would pick the episode where we're having sound problems to do that.
Yeah.
Good job.
Who knows what the rest of this is going to sound like. It's just going to be shrieking feedback because of that.
Oops.
Should we, there you go.
So that happened.
Letter. That was really well written, except for all the grammatical and spelling errors.
Oh my gosh.
So we got your Kickstarter thing to talk about, and we got Zappity Grumbles.
Yep.
Yeah, we got Zappity Grumbles. Over at Adepticon, we were introduced to Anvil 8's games, new game, Aetherium, I believe. I believe that's how it's spelled.
Yeah, I would say so.
Or sounds.
It looks right.
Aetherium.
Yep. Yeah. But it's a skirmish game. It's kind of, think of like the Matrix. When you're fighting.
Matrix 2?
No. When you're fighting your models, your characters have the ability to change the landscape.
Like you can actually move the terrain
on. You can move. It's on a board, and you can move, you know, things around on the board. So you can bring things closer. You can possibly move things away. It seems pretty cool. I didn't actually get to see it in play, but it's out there. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's ending May 1st.
They gave us some models. So do we have enough to actually play a game sometime? I don't know how many models it requires. There are, what, 4 of them there?
Yeah, but I think we need the rules for the game.
Yeah,
we don't really. Yeah.
That's it's small like, details.
Actually, it's models. No.
We can make our own rules.
Yeah. I'd change the train. But I think we'll probably run some kind of contest today or something. We'll think of something. We'll post it up on when we post the video or the actual podcast. We'll have links going over to their Kickstarter. Check it out. There's a local company in Chicago. So
let me see.
Yeah, so we'll come up with some kind of a contest for these because we got, like I said, 4 models that we can give away to some listeners.
Yeah.
Would they need all 4 models to play, or would they be able to, if we had 4?
My guess is they need more than that.
Yeah, my guess is we give them away to 4.
This would be the equivalent of, like, hey, there's this great game, War Machine. We have 4 Warcasters to give away.
But most skirmish games are, like, usually, a lot of skirmish games are, like, 6 models versus 6 models or 8 versus 8. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But it's Aetherium, A-E-T-H-E-R-I-U-M, and it's right now it's over on Kickstarter. It ends May May 1st.
Very cool. I have a little shout out to a game. I didn't play any of it, but it had cool stuff. It was Deep Wars.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
It was just looking neat. It was all underwater-based themed. It was cool because you could like go to a since it's all in the bottom of the ocean, you could just go like a pet store and just buy a bunch of things for an aquarium, and that's your terrain.
Apparently, one of the main mechanics in the game that I overheard people talk about is that you could actually the models had what depth they were at, because obviously you're playing on the table, so everything looks like it's the same thing. But there's actually like on their cards, so they had reference cards, War Machine style. You actually noted what depth they were at, and that would affect how combat worked and where they could go and stuff like that. Yeah. So the game itself was in 3D,
but some of those creatures were like huge. I'm talking like battle engine size, like crazy looking fish creatures.
The models looked amazing. I have heard from some other guys about the.
The beards were not impressed.
Yeah, they were not impressed by the actual gameplay. But the models for that game look amazing. I love the look of those things.
Yeah.
Although I always do wonder after, like, overhearing about demos and stuff, because, I mean, think about how terrible the first demo of War Machine was for, like, you and Jim. You know what I mean?
Jim didn't play War Machine for, like, a year after.
Yeah, this Ethereum looks neat, though. It looks,
from what I heard it described to me, is it's kind of like the Matrix. You know, you're fighting on a kind of a computer world, and you redefine the actual terrain you're fighting on, and some of the powers that you have.
Cool, very cool.
Yep. Sorry to poop on your Deep Wars.
But. No. This is an actual topic. I just mentioned Deep Wars as like a side thing. I was going to mention it last week, but we're so tired.
We were.
And people who prefer 40K over fantasy, if they say they like something else more than that, I'm not torn by that opinion.
Yes.
Like, 40K is my game. I don't like fantasy.
I didn't like Deep Wars because it's not as good as 40K. It's like, oh, okay, so you're wrong then. Yeah. That's what
didn't say that.
No, specifically. I'm just saying, but they like 40K a lot over War Machine. So I'm just saying,
they play with the right people, as in they don't play with other people. They play with themselves. And
well, we all play with ourselves. that's another topic.
But honestly, if you play 40K with just with people who are your friends, then you don't have to worry about dickbags.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends who your friends are.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's not for us at all. Yeah.
Just because you and your friends are having fun doing something doesn't mean the activity is good. That's true. It's an excuse to be with your friends. Like, 40K is terrible, but they're with their friends, so it doesn't matter.
That's what I feel about this podcast.
This podcast is terrible, but we're together. You know, we could just get drunk and hang out and play tic-tac-toe. It doesn't mean tic-tac-toe is a good competitive game to play. It means that we're just socializing with each other.
Yep. Even bad video games are fun if you're playing with a group of people.
Yeah, it's true.
We're going off topic bad there.
Well, that's we're so always Zappity off Grumble. Topic. That's how it should be. All right. Are we going right into Zappity Grumble?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could do the one other game shout-out, but then I don't have a recommendation. Well, no, that's fine, because I have a really subtle recommendation again. So I will also give a shout-out to a game. At Adepticon, John Damaris, Fat Asian of Muse on Minis fame, and I played. We thought we were going to go to a demo of Super Dungeon Explorer Arena, which is like the new competitive version of Super Dungeon Explorer. But it turns out it was actually a tournament, and we were supposed to bring our own models. But instead, the people just gave us models, and we played. And John and I played in the finals, and that was a lot of fun. The game was super enjoyable. The first two rounds, I wasn't really sold on it, and it turned out it was mostly just because we were still feeling out how to play, and people we were just completely incompetent. But once we got to the third round, John and I played, it was a very, very enjoyable game. It was neck and neck. It was very the way I would describe it, it's almost like, for those of us out there listening, like me or some of the other people who miss Monpok and really enjoy the gameplay of Monpok, this felt a lot like that. You have your units that do little stuff, and then you have your one main guy. In this case, it's a hero, unlike the monster in Monpok, but it's a versus thing where you're trying to kill each other's main leader with all the units and stuff. And it's a good palate cleanser from something like War Machine. It's fast. It's competitive without being overly stressful. The models are cute. If you like Super Dungeon Explorer, you already can play it.
Is it grid-based or
grid-based? It's grid-based. Nice. It's on a grid. The main thing, for those of you who've played Super Dungeon Explorers, it'll make sense, so I'll just go over a little bit, is that you have two spawning points that, the dungeon person Super Dungeon Explorer usually has, and then you also have a hero, and then on your turn, you can either activate X value of your monsters, you can activate your hero, and you run around getting treasure and trying to kill each other, and if you kill either your opponent's hero or both of their spawning points, you win. And so it's a lot of tactical maneuvering. The problem with the first two ones is that people just put their spawning points up front and then they just got shot to death because ranged is really strong. But once John and I knew to hide our shit in little closets in the back of the board where nobody could get to it, it was a lot more interesting. But it's very Monpok-esque. I actually ended up getting third due to strength of schedule. Sorry, Trevor Christensen. Even though I was at the finals table, I got third.
Oh,
but
my God, I know. System.
What the hell? Oh, what the hell? No. That's okay, because first and second place got mats, the actual boards, and third got a con-exclusive model, which I think is a cooler prize. So I have a con-exclusive model. I have a Succubus hero, or no, I guess she's a mini-boss. So whether you play Arena or if you just play Super Dungeon Explorer, she's a perfectly good thing. So we're going to give her away somehow. I'm not sure how. John's also going to – he beat me, so he got first. He got a play mat. They're going to give that away on Muse. He and I have talked a little, but we're not sure what the contest is yet. We'll figure it out, but there's going to be some contest. This isn't as time-sensitive because it's not Kickstarter. Who can spoon Nathan the best gets this model. Who can spoon John the best gets the play mat. So send your resumes – complete with, you know, photographs and prior experience and recommendations about spooning, and we'll figure out.
To podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'll give them John's number. They can text him.
Yes. If your resume is a little risque, just post it on the Focus and Fury forums. We'll check it out there.
Like, what's this
happening? That's what's neutral ground.
And that's focusandfury.com.
Yes. /forum.
Yeah.
Which is annoying because Muse on Minis is /forums, but Crippled System and Focus on Fury are /forum. So I always go, I always screw that up when I type them in.
There's only one forum.
Why don't you bookmark them?
Why doesn't it autofill?
Why don't you click on the link on the front page?
In the at the break room at work, that computer doesn't have cookies for security reasons, so I had to type it in every time.
Oh. That's fair.
Well, that now you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, right. Now I don't have to worry about that anymore.
How are we going to get our cool shit printed?
I don't know. Go to go someplace else.
God damn it!
I just go to Jason's house. Fix this for me.
I needed a Crippled System mat for the table here.
You can still get that printed.
It turns out you can still print things there.
Just no, but I want
out of loyalty. Discount. You won't go there because you want the 10%.
Yeah,
you still can get the 2 dozen hats for $80. That's a sweet deal.
Fuck it. We'll find a new place now.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah, but out of your respect for you.
Loyalty /lack of 10%.
Sure.
Well, actually, not loyalty, not respect, just someone 10%. We know was, yeah. Yeah.
Zappity.
I farted.
Wow, Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. So stay tuned. There will be a contest on us, and there will be a contest on Muse to get those two things.
Yep.
And like I said at the very beginning, callback, they're going to be at the Nexus Game Fair doing demos again. So if you want to check it out, and if you're in Milwaukee, you can do so.
Very cool. All right, well, I'll start with the twits.
The twits.
On Twitter. Twits. You write twits on Twitter? Everyone knows this.
Tweets.
No,
it's not Tweeter.
Zappity. Yeah, it would be
Tweeter. No,
somebody start a timer, for the love of God.
No, don't need a timer. Go! More timers when they
do. Do you guys want to beta test more games and review them on the air?
Yes. Yes. Sure. That would be amazing.
Yes.
Contact me.
Or our email, because I read that.
podcast@crippledsystem.com. Yeah. Send a request there.
.org.
No, not that org.
.com.
.com.
They updated again.
Again?
Well, I mean like this month, as opposed to 4 years ago.
Well, no. The April 1st they updated.
Yeah, that was still an update.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
New character Trollblood. Good or good for good Gunbjorn Fluff? I don't know. I haven't seen rules. It looks cool.
Is he actually in the fluff?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, if he was in the fluff, we'd probably see a lot more about him. I don't know. I think it'd be pretty awesome. He's neat.
And, you know, if he ends up being Gunbjorn's character and has affinity or something, maybe Gunbjorn will get more table time.
Which would be fine by me.
Yeah. Well, of course, if somebody playing against trolls, you're always happy to see Gunbjorn because he sucks.
Yep. It makes me happy.
He's such an awesome-looking model. I really wish he had just had a couple other small little changes, but I don't know what to change without making him horrible.
I do like that he can crit dev himself.
That is funny, yes.
And the rules is like, what happens when that happens? How is he thrown away from himself?
He should be able to do that on a regular basis on purpose so he can rocket jump.
Yep.
Seems fair.
Zappity.
If you could put any restaurant across the street for War Machine Weekend, who would it be?
It was always Silvers.
How many times would you eat there during War Machine Weekend?
Always.
Even Zoli / Long John Silver.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine if those two combined?
Hush Puppies and the Fazoli's bread, just like, I would just die of carbs.
Just
fistfuls of bread.
I'd want a Hardee's.
That's a good third.
Hardee's, or what's the southern version of it?
Carl's Jr.?
Carl's Jr., yeah.
It's more west than south, but
Yeah. Katie?
Katie's playing a frog game.
I don't really have a specific one that I would eat at multiple times.
I mean, I'll take a Pancake Cafe.
I guess Steak and Shake is always good.
Steak and Shake was next to it last year.
But Steak and Shake, all the previous locations have had a Steak and Shake like 50 feet away.
I enjoy the Steak and Shake nearby myself. But
I like it a once a year type thing. Yeah. And then sometimes at Gen Con, I go to Steak and Shake.
Yeah, like at Adepticon, there's the Portillo's and there's the Steak and Shake. There's these places that like I visit once because I'm like, yes, you know, I'm in the vicinity. I will go to Portillo's once. But I would eat at Long John Silver's 5 meals a day. I would turn into a hobbit just to have extra Long John Silver's trips. And I would just get the fish and the chicken planks dinner every time.
You walk in the store with hairy feet.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Say, give me all the chicken planks dinners. Yes. And 100 extra hush puppies.
And Gollum's voice.
Yes.
It's happening.
Gumball.
How important is media coverage of War Machine Hordes to its future success? Media equaling podcasts, YouTube, Medicaid, etc.
It's always good to have.
It doesn't hurt.
I mean, it's good to have people talking about it. It gives people content when they're not releasing something.
I think it keeps the excitement level up. It keeps people interested because they have something that's engaging in the game.
Gives us something to do on Sundays.
I think it depends a lot how big your meta is. When you have a big meta like what we have, frankly, our meta would survive just fine without Maddie K, without podcasts. But we hear a lot. People write in a lot about these metas where it's like me and my three buddies. Like, I think those sorts of small metas, it's a big difference. You get to see different play styles in the videos. You get to hear tactics and tips on different podcasts that the three of you playing in your basement just aren't going to come up with. Like, they're things that like good players don't know about until they go to a big con and then they're like, what? Where'd that come from? Like, I think the smaller metas, it's a much bigger deal. And assuming that the future of the game is to grow those small metas into big metas, which I kind of do, I think it's very important to the success of the game.
I think honestly that if you are in a smaller meta, travel.
I agree. I think traveling is very important. But with a lot of people have that nervousness to travel because they don't know what they'll see. Maybe you get past that nervousness by watching a couple
games.
Plus, some of those small
metas don't have that option. I mean, reminder, we had at least one listener who lives in Guam. True. She can't drive to another city to play War Machine.
Well, even like, you can go on the other side of the island.
I've been chatting with people in Perth, Australia. They live in Perth, which is like the most isolated city. And all the cons are on the other side of the continent. So they have to literally, you know, they only can go 2 cons a year. And luckily, Perth's still a big city, so their meta is not small. But they can't travel anywhere else because the next city is like 1,000 miles away. It's some ridiculous isolated
place. Well, I was going to say, you were talking about people being...
shout out. I sneak that in every podcast.
You were talking about people being nervous about traveling in that to a new meta. I think this game is well written enough where you can go and play the game the same way with anybody that knows the game. I think that it's the tournament environment is
as long as you generally discuss terrain.
is generally,
I would say,
equal.
Given the caveat that you're playing by the rules in the first place, I've lost track how many times I've gone to a tournament and I'll play somebody who like, this is my first tournament that I've traveled to because our meta doesn't usually travel. And I'm like, excellent. And then they try to get the aiming bonus on a magic spell. And then they try to, like, there are things that, like, if your grasp of the rules is solid, then yes, you can play anywhere. I agree. A small meta is more likely to have a rule, like when we used to think that Frenzying ignored lost aspects. Like, that was something that we played in Madison forever. It's not in the rules anywhere. I don't know where we came up with it.
Somebody a decade ago claimed that was the case.
Right, and we were just like, sure, that makes sense. Like, it's very easy for a small meta to have one or two rules, and they can be important rules, that you just play wrong.
Well, I'm just saying the nature of the game itself lends to a more cohesive tournament environment where in most of the players, I would say about 98% of the players are generally really friendly.
I would agree. But
I think that's really what makes it easier to overcome any kind of nervousness. Is people are usually really welcoming, and if there is something that your meta has been doing wrong, people aren't like upset.
Yeah.
The social media aspect, whether it be podcasts or the forums or Facebook or whatever, does help with that because it has preemptive familiarity. Like anybody who comes to a tournament in Madison will know the five of us. You know what I mean? Like they haven't met us, but they'll come and go, oh, hey, I listen, that's cool, whatever, and it's there. You know what I mean? And same thing, like if you go to Iowa, you go to Texas, and there's Chili, and there's Baldy Mc used to have long hair, whatever his name is, and there's all the people like...
Oh, Keith's boyfriend.
Yeah, Keith's boyfriend. Yeah. Will, yeah. Baldy yeah. But the point is, like, the main thing that this helps to do is take all these little metas. It helps build a global meta,
yes,
which isn't necessarily mandatory, but it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a good icebreaker, too, because if you come to a store for the first time and you're like, well, I don't really know anybody, how do you approach someone? And if you've heard them before, then you'd be like, hey.
Well, someone's moving to Madison. They posted on a forum about coming here, and they already know some people. I mean, they already know a bit about the Madison Meadow because we podcast.
Especially if, I'm assuming he got it offered a job at Epic.
I assume. I asked in the thread. He hasn't answered.
But there are plenty of companies that's on
there are.
Epic. And Epic, I mean, I don't think he's there from...
He's moving from the West Coast.
Yeah, but it's mostly colleges where people go to Epic. They don't hire people a couple years out. He's
generally not. Although there are exceptions, but yes.
So, I mean, there's plenty of places people...
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
What is everyone's thoughts on Striker 3? Tim Simpson asks us.
He's kind of annoying to assemble.
He seems legit. I haven't seen him on the table yet, but theory machine-wise, he looks solid.
I haven't played against him yet. He terrifies my Rhett. Because auto-hitting, electro-leaping knights seems super-duper bad for me. Especially auto-hitting impact-attacked electro-leaping knights.
Those are expensive knights, though. They're still...
That terrifies me with Rhett.
My Crix is concerned, my Scorn is not.
Yeah, and then my Legion is a little... My Angelius specifically are a little not excited about Warjacks that auto-hit them.
He does continue to... like with the electro-leaping knights, like that, he continues the pattern of recent releases being very anti-infantry.
Yep.
To try to encourage people of having at least one of their lists be very Jack and Beast heavy.
I would still rather see him than Ely, so...
Oh, yeah. Hell yes. I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest, it's going to be really, really hard for Signar to get a caster that's better than Ehaley E. Kane. Like, that's really hard.
It is. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily.
It's like beating out E. Lich, Denny 2. Right. Like, also really difficult.
Denny 1.
Or Denny 1. Denny 1, Denny 2, and Lich 2, like, are all amazing.
That's okay. I'm happy with Signar getting good casters because I want to not see Haley 2 anymore.
I would be okay with that.
I don't care if they're better. Just she's so not fun.
I'm sure Signar players don't always hate playing them either.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be a lightning round. In our all of our questions we've discussed, which is fine. It's just
yeah. I tried to get a timer; they wouldn't do it.
So I'm always for it.
I have 20 minutes before I'm
zappity.
Grumble.
What childhood franchise I love will Michael Bay destroy after TMNT?
Thundercats.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that entirely.
I'm actually thinking Voltron, but you know, Thundercats makes sense too.
Yeah.
Because Voltron, he could turn into explosion.
Well, actually, that might be kind of cool.
No. No. I will weep.
I don't want to know what he'll do to Panthro and Shia LaBeouf as Snarf and Megan Fox as Chitara.
How could you possibly fuck up five guys or four guys and one girl who drive lions around and form into... Oh, yeah, you could.
Oh, how do you fuck up giant robots punching each other? You make them the ancillary characters behind Shia LaFuckinBeouf.
How do you give lips and a nose to a turtle? I mean, I like the doctored pictures that somebody just took, like, his still shots and made them there. It was like, that looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You have time? That Turtles movie's not out yet. Lips. Yeah. Oh, fuck Michael Bay.
Zappity.
That's it for Twitter. We're on to the Facebooks.
All right. So Brian Kerr asks, I am relocating closer to Madison within the next few months, and I was wondering if you folks plan on days other than Wednesday, since I'll be tied up at work until about 7:30.
Tuesdays at Misty is making a resurgence. So the East Side game store is on Tuesdays, the West Side game store is on Wednesdays, and then you can always post on our forums. I'm sure you can get a pickup game on the weekend.
That's a big thing, to pick up people.
Pickup games
play.
Do happen.
Because Misty comes and goes. It's sporadic. Yeah. But, I mean, obviously, if you work till 7:30, that'll always be bad for a Wednesday. But people do schedule weekend games. I mean, Jeremy has a table at his place.
I do.
My place will have a table. Andy's new place will have a table.
I have a table.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's place. There's all sorts of places to play.
Also, it depends on how far away you are from Pegasus, but there might be people available for games.
If you show up at Pegasus at 8 o'clock, you'll get a game in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble. Matt Warnart. I'm going to, this is my new thing. I'm going to destroy everybody's name. Asks, do any of you have pre-tournament rituals?
No.
I give Jeremy a good luck kiss for his tournaments.
That's true.
Actually. I do too. You hussy.
We're not the hussy. He's the one. Can't be mad at each other.
I'm going to start listening to the first 9 minutes of the Conan the Barbarian soundtrack before every tournament because those are the most balls out, pump up 9 minutes of music.
I try for a few minutes of silence, and a lot of what else I do isn't proper for air.
Mine is I never pack anything until like 3 a.m. That's my pre-con tournament ritual.
I make my lists up then and there.
Red Zappity.
Grumble.
Favorite Pokemon starter out of all of them?
Charmander?
Goobly Gook.
That one is good.
It's Cobbledy Goo.
I actually really
that's
like
his brother.
I really like
Squirtle. That was his brother.
Nathan. Oh, Charmander.
Squirtle.
Charmander. Well, it was a later game. There were monkeys with hands on their tail. I forget what that guy, what those ones were. No, they didn't have. They had like flame tails. This was a later one. This is like in silver Cobbledy or Goo? Something.
Yeah, was the monkey. The with flaming like a monkey. Flaming tail. Yeah.
I named mine Hot Ass Ape because literally he was an ape with a hot ass.
That's true.
So good times.
Mine's still Bulbasaur. I think he's first round.
He's first round.
Bulbasaur. Zebedee.
Gumball.
Kevin Barnhart asks, what is the biggest change you would make to the current national meta?
Jeremy wants to do a ranking system.
You skip.
I do.
Brandon
McLean.
Sorry. Teasing
Andy. Oh, yeah. I did skip that. My bad.
Oh, well. Jeremy wants a ranking system.
I think you should score. I think it should be only at events that are cons, 20 persons or more. So you can still bring goofy lists and play, or like still bring goofy lists to your local tournaments and have fun, or practice a list or whatever. And I think that at the end of the day, better players are better players, and you should get more points, and it would fix strength of schedule. I really do.
Can't shake my head any larger.
I'm aware
harder
of that, and I know you disagree with the talk.
Yeah, there's just so many people out there who want to stroke their ego, and it just gives more ammunition for stroking ego.
One thing that Trevor pointed out that I do agree with, because events like War Machinery can have a top 32 spots, now getting those certain spots could have more value over time, so having a better ranking system isn't the worst thing.
Yep.
Because there are people who, when you're going to those War Machine weekends, you're going to Lock and Loaded Iron Gauntlet Finals, Masters, your placement will start mattering more. So having a better system isn't the worst thing. I just haven't seen a better system yet.
Well, I mean, like Will Pagani, when he first showed up basically as for Lock and Load, he came out of nowhere in a sense for the national meta.
Yeah.
And if we had a previous ranking system, who knows if he would have actually made that.
You still get first place if you win all your games.
Yeah, I mean,
all this fixes is second through eighth.
Yeah.
That's what it fixes. It doesn't change first.
The winner is still the winner, regardless if he's.
And I'm not saying tournament. I'm not even saying that you factor it for pairings. I'm saying you use it to fix strength of schedule. You can completely random the matchups as long as you use that score to determine. Like, we all know when someone's not a scrub and happens to lose their first game.
If they're good players, they're going to give you a good strength of schedule under the current system. Like
not true. Having played in Masters. That's 100% not true.
The problem
almost all the good players, if they had one loss, drop the rest of their games.
That's the biggest challenge nowadays.
You have to use large event scheduling all the time.
The privateer guys don't let you drop, so they all quote unquote dropped. They chip captain crewed and then pushed models around for a minute, or top of one forfeited, or it's what the meta has become, especially at cons, because you want to go watch the top table. You want to go – I must have heard four different top players in Masters say, I already lost one game. I don't care. I want to go see this game with Watt. I want to go see this game with Jordan that's still in it.
That's the system's fault. The ranking won't matter that much. It's like when the big game scoring or whatever with called large event scoring. But if you lose round one, it's still terrible. It's like if you drop, it doesn't fix the 0-1 drops.
No, it doesn't.
That's the other challenge. I mean, it's still better than anything else anyone's presented. So it's not the biggest deal in the world. And I still think if you won, it matters. And losers should shut up because you lost. So fuck you.
And that's fine. I'm just saying that's the one thing I would change.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. Brian. Brandon McLean asks, Brian, Fistaholic, Centrati, or more Accurii?
You can never enough Accurii. Although one unit of Centrati is not bad, but more Accurii. More. Six units, that's how many I have.
Sorry. Jesus Christ.
Zabity.
Come
on. John Oakland Spencer asks, net decking problem or solution?
It's fine. The word is wrong.
The word's wrong.
That's why it's so much fun to use.
Well, it depends. Are they talking about net decking as actually taking lists from the internet, or are you using net decking the Beanish way, which is to metagame against somebody?
I only metagame.
Yeah. They're both fine.
It's a game within a game.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, if you're metagaming someone and you don't run into them, and then your list sucks about everyone else, you kind of eat your own...
Hoisted by your own petard.
Yes, thank you.
By your own Picard?
Yes. Hoisted by your own Picard. Make it so.
Zavity.
Grumble.
What's the best thing to watch on Twitch TV at 6:30 p.m. Central?
It's going to be Painting with Menoth John.
Because John Christensen said it.
What a surprise.
I don't know, John. We podcast at the time. You should really move your show to a better time for us.
Once Cosmos is gone, he'll move back later, and then things will be okay again.
All right. Yay, John. You're the best. Someone said that once.
It's a professional podcaster. Jason, what was that, buddy?
Couple.
No. Jason Young asks, any opinions on the new Super Dungeon Explorer Kickstarter or the PvP arena?
Yeah, you weren't you listening?
Yeah.
I just talked question. About that.
Come on.
Jesus Christ, man.
Wow.
Fuck. Grumpo. You got to work with us here, people.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Odoro asks, cake or pie?
Pie. And I've more. Pie. I've recently started going away from fruit pies and more towards like custard based pies. Like
better.
Yeah, like the cookies and cream ones or the French silk pies or oh my god, key lime pie is like the greatest thing on the fucking planet.
Nothing defeats a simple but elegant angel food cake.
Rhubarb.
I think I'm gonna have to go with pie because I've very rarely had a bad pie, but I've had bad cake.
Sure,
that's true.
Also, people frosting is overrated on
that's
cake.
That's not true. I mean, frosting is amazing.
People should send us, please send us as many homemade pecan pies as you want.
Oh, pecan pie.
Please mail them to us.
And the thing, I used to love like a cherry pie or an apple pie or whatever, but now it's all about the other ones. The pecans, the lemon meringue, the French silk. So good.
I like pecan pie. It's more healthy.
Yeah. I think what Brian's trying to say is they'll give you a Kickstarter miniature from Ethereum if you give him a pecan pie.
Yes.
I would do that.
You do French apple pie with the cream cheese.
I like rhubarb.
Wait, cream cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, because I've heard, like, people do the apple pie and then they put, like, cheddar cheese on top and that's a thing.
Oh, what?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's the noise I make when
you
I hear that.
You can't act surprised. I watched Men in Black 3 with you and Tom Lee Jones' character does
that.
Yeah,
that is a thing.
I didn't pay attention.
About it on this podcast.
We have. It's a thing. It's not a Wisconsin thing, even though we're the cheese state. It's like an East Coast thing. They put cheddar cheese on their apple pie. Zappity.
Crumble.
If Skye becomes Miss Marvel because she may now have Kree blood in her. Well, great. Thanks for explaining. Fuck you.
Hey, maybe you should be behind.
It's not actually in the show, but it is talked about a lot on the internet.
Okay.
Well, that was whatever. All gibberish to me.
Well, he was talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't watch.
So I'm not going to talk about it.
Zappity.
Grumble. Did any of you back the Relic Knight Kickstarter? Do you think the game will suffer since the Kickstarter delivery has been so delayed?
No, I don't mind delays. I mean, if a Kickstarter finishes, you should be happy. You're investing in like a hope of something getting made.
Plus, it's like a surprise gift when you actually get the Kickstarter stuff.
I have so many things where I Kickstarter like a year ago, a year and a half ago, and I suddenly get a box of like a gazillion things in the mail. And it's like Christmas in like March.
Yeah, I did the Greater Than Games space game. The guys who make Sentinels of the Multiverse, they have like a space game with miniatures. I don't know when I'm getting it, but I'm supposed to get it soon. But yeah, I paid for that like a year ago.
When you back a Kickstarter, there's no guarantee you're getting dick out of it. Yeah, you're an investor. You are not buying a product. And it's important to remember that because a lot of times people think of this as, I'm pre-ordering this game and I get bonus extra stuff. No, you're giving them money and you might get nothing.
Correct.
And people complain so
not
much.
Not really an investor either.
No, but I mean,
they don't own any of the company.
Right, right.
Correct.
But similar.
You're closer to an investor than you are to a customer.
Yes, that's true.
Zubel.
Bloop. Matthew West asks, is Age of Wonders 3 worth getting?
Yes.
I have a bone to pick with him because I said hi and waved at him at Adepticon and he just gave me like this blank who the fuck are you look.
Turns out he might have like the bubonic plague in his inner thigh. That was something on Facebook after the con, he's like, yeah, like I had to go to the doctor because I was like dying of rotting thigh flesh death. Like he got sick somehow.
None the fuck off. But yes, it's worth getting. If you like conquering the world as like an orc or any kind of fantasy or a creature and you just want to have a turn-based strategy game where you're just, you know, crushing the world, it's great.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Will the new troll Warbeast have a better rat with a destroyer cannon than the actual destroyer Warjack?
No, I hope so.
No, he won't.
He'll have. I think the Jack has got four.
Yeah,
five?
He'll have the same rat, and then he's going to have the inaccurate rule because they specifically say that in the fluff that it's inaccurate.
He's a Kator Jack, so he's always a four. They're always rat.
Yeah, he's going to be four with inaccurate. He's not a sniper.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, he's going to be able to really reliably boost it, not have to rely on his caster to give him focus to boost it.
Yeah, although to be fair, it says that it's inaccurate, but then it also says that the pig is super good with it, so he might have inaccurate and then super accurate also to like counteract. I don't know.
He might just not have inaccurate.
I guess.
And just
awesome.
A really bad rat.
That could have just been a fluff thing. That's true also.
Just rat 3.
Yeah, rat 3, yeah. Grubble. That's it?
That's it.
Sweet. That's all.
Recommendations?
Go.
I have a real quick recommendation, which is Hot Pepper Gaming. It is a gaming review thing on YouTube where they review a video game, but immediately before reviewing it, they eat a hot pepper, just like raw, like a whole habanero or a scorpion pepper or anything like that. There's one where Andrew WK eats a like 5 million Scoville unit pepper that's used to murder people and then reviews Arkanoid, and it's great. So Hot Pepper Gaming, it's well worth your time. I specifically like the one where this chick reviews sorry, this broad. Don't call chicks broad. Where she reviews whatever the UHF quote is. She reviews a Donkey Kong Country game, but she's so just in death from the habanero, she just keeps talking about Cranky Kong instead of anybody else. It's great.
I signed Malcolm up for a freestyle class, and you have to do a little video at the end that's to three songs. So I recommend you guys sending me your suggestions for which three songs I should do things with my doggy with.
Rec Room for soprano, mezzo, soprano, two mixed choirs, and orchestra. That's one of my favorites.
Sorry. My recommendation, I was desperately trying to find it online because I don't actually know who the company is. Maybe somebody does. Those amazing table mats that Privateer Press gave away two of at the end of Adepticon. Any of you know who the company is?
We can look into it. Well,
we recommend them, and you should tell us what they were because we forgot the name.
Yeah, they were amazing, and I've been trying for a week to find them online ineffectually. I've been failing to Google them.
Why didn't you message, like, Plumber or...
Because I was trying to figure it out without bothering Privateer Press, because it should be easy to figure out.
And they're at a con,
most of them are out at PAX East. Oh, well. Anyway, they were amazing.
Good enough to remember the name of the company.
No, they are good enough. The problem is I was just exhausted by Sunday of Adepticon. Like, the other ones that they brought, I didn't like. You got green all over your dice, green all over your models, green all over yourself. My fingernails had crap underneath them all
weekend. That was just the standard play mats.
Yeah, I don't like. But they had two that I played on at the very end of the weekend, just free play. And then they gave them away to people. I've never been so sad not to win a raffle prize. I was like, I want that immediately now.
They're basically like the rubber play mats that you use for like Magic or whatever, except they're 4x4 and have, you know, visually appealing theme to them, like a desert one or a forest one or whatever. So
they looked really cool. They would have been easy to put terrain on. Your models didn't go anywhere. They were just soft enough that they were like comfortable to lean against, but not so soft that your models are like all over the place. They were amazing. So that's my recommendation. And I as I've been Googling for them, people have been complaining about, well, I don't want to buy mats for my store because it'll be expensive. You know what? I don't know how much they are, but if they're not ridiculously expensive, just like everyone had to raise money for death clocks, I think they will legitimately improve your gaming experience if you raise some money for them for your local store. They're amazing.
Sure. I didn't even announce. You said death clocks. I forgot the free announcements to announce our event in May. It's hilarious.
You're fired. Anyway.
So you're going to recommend?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to recommend coming to our event in May, May 3rd.
I don't have to.
Hey, you should recommend tonight's episode of Game of Thrones with details.
Yes.
Tonight is when Blank is going to get blanked to blank.
He's going to get the blank in the blank.
Right in the blank.
Right in the blank. So, of the five of us, Andy's the only one who hasn't read the books.
I'm not going to read the books until the series is done.
Which is good, because this way we can continually threaten to spoil things for
you. I probably will start the book soon.
Just to get past that. When we'd be watching together, and like something would be coming, we'd all know it's going to be like the next scene, so all of us would just like lean forward and rotate to stare at Andy, and Andy's trying to watch the screen, and we're all just like,
Nathan, were you there for the red wedding?
I was not there for the red wedding,
I think I saw it by myself.
Yeah. You were lucky. I sent you a text saying, ignore Facebook for the next 12 hours.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that.
No reason, but don't look at anything anywhere. Because Twitter, I watched the Twitter feeds explode and every Facebook. I'm like, dear Andy, don't look at anything.
I had part of Breaking Bad spoiled by me going to Facebook. Somebody had the animated GIF of Gustavo walking out of the place. And yeah, I saw that.
Right. Yeah, I
didn't spoil it for you guys telling me that though. But he walked out of the place, and then
minus 4 minutes. All you want.
My recommendation is you should go read a book.
Which book?
You should finish out the.
Okay.
You should read.
No, you should finish out the rest of the recommendation that I put out, because I just said come to our event on May 3rd.
May 3rd, yeah, shit. We're giving away all the Kickstarter models.
Commander's
Crucible event, 35 points. We're giving away all the Kickstarter models. Plus, I have two of these Teal Soul Protectorate. Is that what they're called?
Steel Soul Protector, yeah.
Yep. That was donated to me by so-and-so. I can't think of his name. He's from Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
Good guy. He has long hair.
Solvayne, wasn't it?
Is Commander's Crucible by definition three list, or are we two
list? No, but this is a three list. You have to bring three lists. Okay. Have to play each list once. The event will go four or five rounds.
Okay.
Based on sign up.
Yep.
But it's gonna be fast. 35 points.
Yeah. No, I was just I want to make sure we put that out there for people.
Cry baby.
I can't plan it either way, sadly.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be gone.
I'll be installing floors in my house. My father-in-law's coming to visit.
I thought we moved it so you could make. You could come that weekend because it's the third. You couldn't do the other one.
Maybe.
Whatever. So Star Wars 7 is coming out.
Star Wars 7 is coming out. Yeah. So anyway, that was episode
67.
Two more to go.
Two more to go till Nathan's favorite episode ever. And thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Go watch Game of Thrones.
The last.